1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31, and it's on page 1153 in the Church Bible. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason. It would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Do take hold of your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. We're continuing our little mini-series, thinking about what it means to be a church member. Last week, we thought about what it means to believe in the truths of the gospel. This week, we are thinking about what it means to belong to a church. And we need God's help as we open his word. So let's pray and ask for that now. Loving Heavenly Father, you are with us by your Spirit this morning. You are teaching us. You're rebuking us. You're correcting us. You're training us in righteousness. And so please, we pray, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when it comes to the church, there are some people who kind of say, if you want someone to believe, then first they need to belong. And I can understand where that thought comes from. It is crucial that churches are places where people find a friendly welcome from the moment they come through that front door. That they can see this is a community that they would genuinely like to be a part of. It's no accident that Jesus says to his disciples, the way that people will know that we belong to him, that we are his followers, is that we love one another. The church ought to be a welcoming community of love. And the gospel loses its plausibility if we aren't showing a gospel welcome in our church. But while it's right to expect that church will be a welcoming and open community, I think what we saw last week was, you know, if you want to become a church member, if you want to be committed to a church, you can't fully belong unless you believe the truths of the gospel. Those two things have to go hand in hand. You see, inevitably, there are things about church that are going to feel odd to people who don't believe what we preach from the Bible. You know, when you think about it, just the stuff that we've done so far this morning, singing songs together to a God who you don't believe in makes absolutely no sense. Praying to a God that you don't believe in doesn't make any sense. Baptizing people here underneath the stage in the baptismal pool, that makes no sense whatsoever. It's weird. Sharing little bits of bread and wine, that would be a really odd thing to do if you didn't think there was a God in heaven. Listening to a person stand at the front and talk about the Bible for the next half an hour would be an odd thing to do if you don't think the Bible is true. You see, all these things only make sense if you believe that God sent his son Jesus to give his life as a ransom for many, and that 3 days after he died on the cross, he rose again to new life. That's the only reason what we're doing this morning makes sense. So, as we continue our series thinking about church membership today, we're going to see what it means for different people to belong to the church. And we're looking particularly at Paul's letter to the Corinthian church. Paul's way to teach, as we've already heard, is to compare the church to a human body. And that enables him to draw out four key ways that a church body will help us to serve one another as followers of Jesus, if we make them our priorities. That's how we're going to find our belonging. So, let's take a look at what they are. Here's the first one. Unity. We need to value unity. God is the one who forms the parts of the body. This is, verse 12, is where the metaphor of the body, the church as a body, is first introduced. Just as a body, though, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Just take a moment to think about your body, the different muscles and bones and organs and cells, which perfectly combine to make up one fearfully and wonderfully made human being. Your body is so complex that scientists and doctors, they are still discovering things about precisely how it works. What's an appendix for? I don't know. Do you? Apparently it's for something, but we don't really know yet. Now, if you think the human body is impressive, just wait till you think about how God brings together a group of people in Christ into one body. Verse 13, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. We saw last week as we looked at 2 Thessalonians that salvation is a work of God. And that's exactly what Paul has been saying in this chapter too. If you look back a few verses to the start of the chapter, verse 3, you'll see it's only a person who is speaking by the Spirit of God who can say, Jesus is Lord. You're only able to be a Christian if you've been immersed, that's it, baptized, in the Spirit of God. That's how you become part of the body of believers that God is forming. Now, Paul has lots to say about spiritual gifts, and we might have questions about that. But we mustn't forget that the key work of the Spirit that he talks about here is uniting people in Christ, drawing together those different people and making them one body. While each of us here as Christians might have our own distinct story of how we came to Christ, how we became a Christian, it is true to say we all joined the body of Christ in exactly the same way, by a powerful work of the Spirit of God. Now that is something which ought to bring great unity across diverse backgrounds in the church. It doesn't matter where we came from. The same Spirit drew us together into one body. Now in Corinth, that was really obvious. The church included people who ordinarily wouldn't have come together. People from different ethnic backgrounds, people from different classes. Just look down at verse 13 again, remind yourself. Jews and Gentiles, they didn't mix. Slave or free. That wasn't a kind of, hey, let's hang out, watch the game. No, that never happened. There was a working relationship and you did not mix. But in the church, it was different. In Christ's body, they had been joined together as equals. All were forgiven sinners who trusted that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if anyone came to the church expecting, oh, it's only going to be people like me, people who are Jewish, or it's only going to be people like me, people who are free people, not slaves, well, then they failed to understand how a body works. It is made up of different parts, not the same, verse 14. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If we are going to understand what it means to belong to a church, then we must not overlook the unity that the Holy Spirit produces in us. The gospel is not just about fixing our broken relationship with God, although that is a key part of what goes on when Jesus dies on the cross. It is also about fixing our broken relationships with one another as humanity. Joining a church means developing deep connections with people who are not like you in lots of ways. Who all things being equal, you probably wouldn't choose to hang out with them. Eric and I were having a joke this morning that, you know, we could have a conversation despite the fact that his Man City team beat my Southampton team yesterday. The gospel surpasses even football. Can you believe that? But that's the thing. That's a silly example. But there are certain things in life where people think, oh, I'm not going to hang around with people like that. And we live in such a divided world, don't we, at the moment? People are trying to drive a wedge between different kinds of people and say, those are evil because they're not like you. And along comes the gospel and says, all are united in Christ's body. Because of Jesus, we are brought together here in this church. And that unity is a huge witness to a world that is full of conflict and division. As a church, we must value our unity. And secondly, though, Paul wants churches to value belonging. Because God places the parts of the body. This is verses 15 to 20. And at this point, Paul invites us to imagine a little scenario playing out between the parts of the body. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And then if an ear should say, oh, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Now, you know that that's a ridiculous scenario, isn't it? You know, people sometimes say, oh, you know, my heart's starting to quit on me because they've got an illness or something. He's not talking about, you know, your body parts getting tired and wearing out. What Paul is saying, imagine the day when your foot wakes up and goes, I'm quitting. I'm not going to be part of this body anymore because I am not a hand. I just love opposable thumbs and I just wish I could have them. That, like even now, as you think about it, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? That just would not happen. Your body parts don't quit because they're not like another part. And the body relies on each part doing its unique job, whether that is walking or gripping or hearing or seeing. If every body part in your body was exactly the same, you would look odd, wouldn't you? That would be a really strange thing to look at. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? A body that could never hear, or who could only see but never hear, or only hear but never smell, would have some really serious problems, wouldn't it? That is not how bodies are supposed to be or work, and it just wouldn't. It just would not work. Now, if that is true of a human body, we should also see it's true when it comes to the body of Christ, the church. When you look around the room here at Slaybrook, it is easy to see we are all very different people. Now, what we were just saying, weren't we, that it is only Jesus who brings together people across ethnic and class boundaries. But even so, even in the church, sometimes we can feel deeply isolated. In a place where we ought to feel that we belong, we can feel that we don't. Even in church, little cliques, exclusive groups can begin to form. And people feel like, well, I don't belong because I'm not like them. They're all very well educated and I don't have a degree, so I couldn't possibly fit in there. Or they're all really good and talented and they understand all kinds of technical things and I don't get that. I don't belong there. Or they're already good singers, and I don't belong there. Whatever it is, we can begin to feel like I don't belong because I'm not like everyone else. If the church is a body, we should not be like this. And in a situation where we start to feel that we don't belong, it can be tempting to think that the thing we need to do is to leave. I need to go and find a place where there are people like me, where I do fit in, where I do belong. Paul warns us that if we do that, we are actually harming the body. Be like an ear just deciding it was going to quit on your body one day and leaving the body without a sense of hearing. You have a unique contribution to make to the life of this church. Now, I'm not saying that it is never right to leave churches or join a different church. And it's not okay to be made to feel like you don't belong in a church. But what Paul is helping us to see is that belonging to a church isn't based on being the same as everybody else. We belong here because God put us here. Verse 18. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God has a very specific reason for including each and every member of the church family here at Sladebrook. It is no accident that he has brought together this combination of individuals. And so if God says you belong here, don't let the fact that you are different to other people stop you from feeling like you belong. God's opinion matters more. We need to stop telling ourselves that we don't belong because we're not like other people. Verse 19. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I hope it's reassuring for you to hear that church is not supposed to be filled with identical clones. Church should display the wonderful diversity that God has deliberately brought together in Christ. It is a great thing that we are all different. And so if you ever start to feel like there is no place for someone like you at Sladebrook, you need to ask yourself whether God thinks that's true. Not whether I think it's true, not whether the people who are sat next to you think it's true. Does God think that that's true? Remember, he has placed you here because he wants you to be here. Difference and diversity are things which enable the church to function properly, as we'll see. And so we must be careful as a church family to never give the impression that only certain kinds of Christians belong. That's the second thing we need to value. What's the third? Interdependence. I couldn't think of a better word, so I'm just going to have to use that. Interdependence. God arranges the parts of the body. It's our need for one another. That's what we're talking about when we mean independence. And once again, Paul teaches this by imagining another scenario within the human body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, it's a similar scenario to the previous section, isn't it? But this time, the issue is not parts of the body looking at other parts of the body and saying, oh, I'm not like them, so I don't belong. It's parts of the body looking down on other parts of the body and deciding that they are surplus to requirements. I don't need that body part. And again, we are supposed to see this is a farcical situation. It's utterly ridiculous. You cannot imagine certain parts of the body just getting rid of other parts. Because it would be a recipe for disaster, wouldn't it? Imagine your kidneys saying to your heart, well, we don't need you. The body is dead on its feet. Now, if that is true of a human body, then it is also true when it comes to the church, the body of Christ. So why is it that we are tempted to believe that there are certain people in church who are unnecessary for our Christian life and growth? Now, you might never say that, but it doesn't mean that there aren't times that you don't act like that's true. Now, let me ask you this. Are there certain people in our church family you wouldn't notice if they stopped coming? Because you never talk to them anyway. And actually, you don't think they have any impact on your life? If the answer to that is, well, yes, then we have given in to the attitude that Paul is correcting here, isn't he? Now, some people take this attitude to the extreme. There are those who convince themselves that they don't need to be part of a church anyway. They don't need to commit to a body because they've got everything they need to grow. They've got podcasts they can listen to online. They've got books they can read. They've got worship albums they can listen to that are much better than the guy that plays the piano at Sladebrook. And the thing is, that kind of attitude towards the church is actually a big mistake. Verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. You see, if we are tempted to walk into church on a Sunday morning and think, hey, it's all about me, and I need to make sure that my needs are met, and everything is to my taste, and everything is the way I like it, well then, Paul is flipping our expectations. We are not the ones that need special treatment. We don't need to airbrush the body of Christ to sort of cover up those people that we think are weaker, less honourable, unpresentable. It's amazing the number of Christian organisations and churches that do this on the photos on their church website. I used to be part of a theological college, and it was amazing that they always chose the pretty people to be on the promotional photos. The one time that I was in a promotional photo for our college, I was blurred out in the background. How's that for your self-esteem? Look, we as a church must not do that. We don't blur some people out because we think we don't need them in our church. We don't want people to know we've got people like that in our church. It's those who we are tempted to think that the church can live without. Those are the ones who should receive special honour. Paul continues, verse 24. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Remember, it is God who has arranged the different parts of the church with the purpose of displaying the unity that has been accomplished in Christ. These verses are not getting us to carve the church up into those who are sort of like us and those who are not like us. It's not us and them when we walk into church on a Sunday. On the contrary, Paul wants us to show equal concern. Concern for everyone. We don't just celebrate with the person who's got a new job or a wedding coming up. We celebrate with those people, but we also take time to grieve with those people who are having a really tough time, who are weighed down by the burdens of family responsibilities or a long, ongoing struggle. In Christ, we are joined to the other members of this church. We are part of one body. If things are going well for one part, then yes, we need to celebrate. But if one part is hurting, we should all be hurting. When one of us is happy, we have a reason to celebrate. I suspect that some of us need to just take a moment to stop and repent. Because actually, when it comes to church, we have made ourselves the center of attention. And we have treated others in the church as weak, an embarrassment, unnecessary for our Christian life. This passage explicitly tells us that every part of the body matters. Everyone who is part of this church is important in God's sight, and therefore should be important in our sight too. God has carefully and deliberately arranged the church to include every person here who is saved by the blood of Christ. How can we say that we don't need them when God says that we do? How can we say that we don't care when we are joined to them? How can we ignore not just their joys, but their sorrows too? We must learn to value interdependence as a church. if we are to belong. One last thing. Diversity. The fourth thing that Paul wants churches to value is diversity, because God gifts the parts of the body. Now, this is something that comes when we consider what it means to be part of a body. Verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. If we have somehow missed everything that Paul has been saying so far, he kind of sums it up here, doesn't he? Just as a human body is made up of lots of different parts, so too the body of Christ is made up of different parts too. Each believer in the Lord Jesus is different, and yet they belong. And as a church, we need to recognize the way that we treat one another needs to be shaped by this knowledge that we are part of the body. It's our identity in Christ. Now, at this point, Paul turns to the topic of spiritual gifts, verse 28. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of all different kinds of tongues. Now, this is the subject that Paul began this chapter in. Back in verse 1, you see, he says, now about gifts of the spirits, brothers and sisters. He's talking about this topic in particular. And it was a pretty big thing for the Corinthian church. They were famously so focused and hung up on spectacular gifts of the Spirit, they'd lost sight of the purpose of spiritual gifts. So back in verse 7 of this chapter, which we didn't read earlier, but is worth having a flick back to, he reminds them of the reason that God gives spiritual gifts to the church. They all have the same purpose. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. That means that belonging to a church means looking for ways to serve others. It means being committed to building up others in the church, using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And one of the wonderful things about being like a part of a church family like Slaybrook is that there are a whole number of ways to do that. And you don't even have to be on a rota. There are all kinds of ways to use your gifts and skills and talents that God has given you to build other people up, to help other people, to serve other people, to show other people Jesus more clearly. I am so thankful that God has given us a real mix of skills and talents in our church. And we need that mix of skills in order for us to grow. There are things that I can't do that I need other people to do in the church. There are things that you can't do that you need other people to do for you in the church. And yet at the same time, there are things you can contribute that will help other people to grow. That is no accident. God has chosen when and where to distribute those diverse gifts within the church. He is the one who decided when there would be helping and guidance and different kinds of tongues and healing and all those sorts of things. This is not the place for us to start to get into what we think about spiritual gifts. The clock is ticking. Maybe that's one for another time. But the point here is that God has chosen to give gifts so that we might serve. And we shouldn't expect that everyone will serve in exactly the same way. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? In case it wasn't obvious, the answer to all those questions is no. No, obviously not. Not even the great Apostle Paul himself had every single spiritual gift. Your priority when it comes to serving in church isn't trying to just get gifts that look impressive, trying to be someone you aren't. Our priority in church should be using the gifts that we do have to serve people here, to help them grow, just as we long for our own bodies to grow. Don't agonize over the things you can't do. Use the things that God has given you. And that will mean learning to value and honor the unique contribution of every member of the church family, recognizing that they all contribute to our common good. It can be so easy to get frustrated at other people because they don't do it like I do it, or they don't do the things that I think they should do. That's because we're all different. And it is okay for us to be different. God has made it so that we are different in the church. Diversity is very clearly part of God's plan for the body of Christ. And so it's something we need to learn to embrace, not to become frustrated about. We need to check that our expectations, both for ourselves and for others, fit with God's distribution of spiritual gifts. Friends, we can be thankful for the unique role that God has given us to play in the life of the church. We belong because God wants us to be here. We should be glad that he has given us things to do that other people can't. And we should be thankful that he's given us others who can do the things that we can't. We need to make sure that we are a church where people do serve each other with the gifts that they have. That we don't tread others down, but we give them a chance to use their God-given gifts, whatever that looks like. The Lord has challenged us this morning with his word. But hopefully we'll go away encouraged that this metaphor of a body shows us what it really is to belong to the body of Christ. We are different, and yet we all belong and have unity because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's pray that we would grow in our love and service of one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have joined us to your church, made us part of Jesus' body here on earth. We long to serve you, and we long to serve one another. So we pray, please forgive us for the way that we have thought and acted wrongly towards other members of our church family. Help us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing today and to grieve and mourn with those who are struggling. Help us to love one another, to prefer each other's needs, to lay down our lives as Jesus laid down his life for us. In Jesus' name we pray.